just keeps going. And I heard more things this morning, and I'm just amazed at what the Lord is doing. This summer, this past week, I had an uncle that passed away on Sunday, and so I spent some time in Beulah and Inman in the last couple of days with family. And they were asking me how the church was going, and I said, well, let's put it this way. There are a lot of churches that I see who struggle to punch their weight. Okay, if you know what I mean by that, to punch equal weight. I said, I want a church punches above its weight class. And they were like, wow. And I said, it's true. And it's not, you can take it and be boastful and prideful, but that's not how I mean it at all. I'm just grateful to the Lord of what he's doing. And I'm just really, really excited about Saturday. And look, the question that has kept going around my mind about the block party is simply this. Why are we doing it? And we could say we want to impress our community, but that's not it. Okay? We could say that we want to show the community what we can do, but that's really not it either. Okay? The heart of the block community, of what it is the gospel of Christ. We want to share the blessings that God has given us, and we want to share those with the community. We want to share our lives. We want to share fun. We want to share pie. We want to share worship. But the heart, we want to share the gospel. Because there are a lot of people in our town of Burns who do not know Jesus as their Savior. That's just the reality of it. And so we're praying and hoping, and I hope you're praying as well, that those who knew Jesus would come and would stay and would accept the invitation to receive Christ. Okay? And that right there, this desire for others to know Christ is at the heart of a psalm I'd like to look at this morning. And that is Psalm 67. So if you have your Bibles, would you please open to Psalm 67? It's a wonderful psalm. It's only 7 verses. It's an amazing psalm. So as you turn there, let me pray. Lord, thank you for this morning, for allowing us to gather together to learn, to worship, and now, Lord, to listen to your word. Lord, I pray that your word would speak, that you would help me to get out of the way and to let you speak through the power of your word through each of our hearts. Lord, would we be thrilled by what we get to see here today, that your word gets to go out to the nations, in our context, to our community on Saturday. So I pray, Lord, that you would speak in these next few minutes. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. All right, let's read Psalm 67. If I can. Well, Dallas, I'm not. Thank you. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. That your name may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Could we go next? Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the people with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. O God, our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Now, the first verse, my guess, probably sounds familiar to us. My God, be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Okay, that's been a church greeting for a long, long time. It actually comes from the book of Numbers. There in chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, we read this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Well, God says he wants to bless us. And the question is, why? What are the purposes of these blessings? Well, we see that in verse 2. that your will may be known on earth, your saving power among the nations. See, the blessings from God, they're not only for ourselves, but for the community, for the watching world to see that they may come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If it's all about blessings to us, then it's selfish, isn't it? Okay, we keep them to ourselves. We go, God, thank you for blessing us and blessing me. We don't think of others. But that's not how God intends his blessings to be. The blessings he gives to us, but they're to flow through us out into our families, into our neighbors, communities, and into the world. Okay? The result of the nations coming to the Lord is praise. In verse 3, let the nations, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. The first part of verse 4, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. The result of a person coming to faith in Christ is joy. It reminds me of Revelation, excuse me, Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 9. John says this, and it's one of these great passages that I love. He says, after this I looked, and behold a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne unto the Lamb. There in heaven, there are going to be people from America, from Colombia, from Malawi, from Rwanda, from Japan, from all over the place. They come together in worship. But it's not only going to be that. Let's take it back down to community level. That annoying neighbor who you don't like, who comes to faith in Christ, yeah, you get to be with him too. Or the person who didn't believe till later on. Or the children that come to faith. We're all together going to be with God in heaven, singing and worshiping the Lord. That's a great scene. And so this coming Saturday, as we gather together with the Burns community, our desire really is to see our neighbors come to faith in Christ and to praise Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the ultimate goal. And so I encourage you, I encourage myself, every one of us to pray that this coming Saturday there will be people in our community who turn to know Christ. And in turn, they would come to praise him forever. I think we would all go through town and go, okay, I want this person to come to know Christ. I want this person to come to know Christ. We can think of just person after person after person. Well, if God lays a particular person on your heart, then pray for them. Okay? This person keeps coming to mind over and over again. Well, why can't I get this person out? That's God telling you to pray for that person. Okay? And so Saturday is not about ourselves at all. It's all about God and what he's doing. Well, there are many ways to try to understand the Psalms. And one of those ways is to ask a lot of questions. And in particular, regarding this psalm, we can ask this question. Excuse me. What is God after? What does he want? Okay. And I think if we look at the psalm as a whole, we can find four things in which God is after. Okay. The first is found in verse 2, where God wants to be known. Okay. David says that your name may be known on the earth, your saving power among all the nations. Okay, he wants people to know him. Second, God wants people to praise him. Okay? We say in verse 3, let the peoples praise you, O God. The third thing, God wants to be enjoyed. Verse 4, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Let them be glad. We'll come back to that one in a minute. I think that one's profound. You see, the fourth in verse 7. God wants to be feared. He wants to be honored. Not fearful in the sense of I'm scared to come to you, but fearful is in a deep respect. God shall bless us that the ends of the earth fear him, David says. So God's after four things. He wants to be known, he wants to be praised, he wants to be enjoyed, and he wants to be feared. And sometimes it's helpful to look at the opposite so we understand kind of what we're talking about, what God's getting at. The opposite of God wanting to be known is that he is displeased when people are ignorant of him. God wants to be known. Okay, that's why he tells all sorts of people in Scripture to go and tell. That's why Paul goes out. That's why Peter goes out. Okay, that's what nation Israel was intended to do, was by their witness to share the gospel. Okay, he wants to be known. Okay? That's why we send missionaries out. That's why ourselves, our lives, should go out and should be witnesses of him. Okay, it's pleasing to God. The opposite of wanting to be praised would be when people are disrespectful of him. Probably the most common way people disrespect the Lord is by using his name in vain. We see it all the time, hear it all the time. Okay? You watch any movie and it's just all over the place. You talk to your neighbors. Okay? Do they understand what they're saying? A lot of times I don't think so. It's something they just heard at home and they continue to do it. But, oh Jesus. It's like, we sing that in one way, saying, Jesus, please help. But to use it in a flippant way, it's disrespectful to the Lord. Okay? And God is displeased by that. And second, the opposite of being enjoyed, now get this one, the opposite of being enjoyed would be that people are bored with him. Right? The opposite of enjoyment is boredom. Okay, if I love something and I'm happy doing it, it's great, that's praise. Boredom is, okay, it's, okay, Pastor Dan has just spoken for 12 minutes. He's probably got another 18 minutes to go. God help. Okay? And so you're probably thinking that. That's okay. I get it. Okay? But when you read Scripture, you read it, you go, oh, okay. Yeah. And we pray, we go, oh, okay, God, do this, do that. We're just kind of bored with it. We're just, there's no excitement, there's no, it's just that. Okay? What does God desire? He desires to be enjoyed. He's going, look what I've given you. Look what I've done for you. Look at Scripture. Look at all I've done in the past. Hey, this is good stuff. This is exciting stuff. Look all I want to do in and through you. Okay? God wants us to enjoy him. Not to be bored. And fourth, the opposite of being feared would be that people are unduly casual in his presence. Okay? Now, I do not mean by this we have to wear suit and ties and dresses and all of that. I don't mean that at all. You can dress casual and still be respectful. Okay? But it's having a deep respect of knowing who you are talking to, know who you are worshiping, knowing who you are obeying. And this is not just any old person. This is God himself, the creator of the universe, the one who has power over it all. Okay? This is the God we're talking about. And so to have a deep, reverent respect for God is important, okay? Because it honors him. To be unduly casual in his presence, I think that is disrespectful of him. So if God's desire is to be known, to be praised, to be enjoyed, and to be feared, what is he communicating about himself that he wants the people to understand? I think we see three things. First, God is a God of grace. Verse 1, may God be gracious to us. Okay? He wants to shower upon us things we do not deserve. Okay? Second, we find in verse 2 and then also in verse 4 when he says, your saving power among the nations. He guides the nations of the earth. What does that tell us? God is powerful. If he can decide the course in which the nations take, if he can save the nations, he is a powerful God. Third, we see in verse 4 as well, it says, you will judge the people with equity. Equity means what? Fairness or justice. Okay? God is a God of justice. So, he's a God of grace, he's a God of power, and he's a God of justice. Now, what's the purpose behind all this? What is God getting at? Whenever you look at Scripture, and you're looking at a psalm in particular today, look for words like that or so that. You see that in verse 2, the very first word, you see that. So God wants to be gracious to us in verse 1, to bless us, to make his face shine upon us, that or so that his way will be known on earth. Your saving power among all of us, the nations, peoples, he repeats peoples, nations, people, nations, peoples, earth. He's talking about that he wants himself to be known among everyone. Everyone. Okay. Whether that's in a family, whether that's in a Burns community. Okay, whether that is beyond. My uncle, I told you, passed away. We had a graveside service in Inman yesterday, and the family asked me to do it, which was quite an honor. So I did it, but I did not know my uncle very well. Okay, there was a conflict that kind of separated our families for several years. So I didn't know him that well, but I did know him well enough that I believe he really wanted the gospel to be shared at his graveside. And so I did. Okay, I just felt it was right to do that. My cousin came up to me afterwards and he says, I'm so glad you did that because there are family members here who do not know Christ. Whether we do that among our own, we share Christ among our own family, whether we share Christ in our own community, whether we go far and wide sharing the gospel of Christ, that is his purpose. That's what God wants. He blesses us so that we would share with the nations. And that's the point of Psalms. God blesses us so we would be a blessing to the nations. Now, this has been one of the purposes of God ever since the founding of Israel. If you go back to Genesis chapter 12, the covenant God gives to, or the promise God gives to Abraham, he says, I'll make you a great nation and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And with you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, we often think about blessings as material things, right? A job, a car, a boat, other things. But I wonder if blessings have more to do with seeking God and being close to him. I think it has more to do with that than earthly stuff. The Psalms seem to demonstrate this again and again. In Psalm chapter 84, blessed is the one who trusts in him. Psalm 34, blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Psalm 119, blessed are those who seek him with their whole heart. These aren't about stuff. These are about seeking God and getting close. There's also blessings for obedience. Psalm 112, blessed is the man who greatly delights in his commandments. Blessed is the one who listens to him. Or to me, Proverbs 8 says. And there's even a blessing in discipline. How about this one? Blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law. That stings. But there are blessings in discipline. But all these blessings have to do with God. He gives good gifts, but he himself is the greatest blessing. I went across a story this week from Sarah Phillips, and I want to share it with you. She's from Australia, and she says, I have a friend who may not seem very blessed to people looking in from the outside. At 18, he was diagnosed with aggressive leukemia and went from professionally swimming to fighting for his life in the hospital in a matter of weeks. Over the next few years, he endured treatment after treatment, each one more brutal than the last. He's now cancer-free, but instead living with a debilitating chronic condition, which is a result of the cancer. For 7 years now, he has endured chronic pain that prevents him from sleeping, increasingly damaged skin that seriously affects his mobility and causes terrible wounds that refuse to heal. At 29, he cannot work, exercise, or travel, and he spends many hours of the week in the hospital. No one can tell him whether he will ever get better because no one actually knows if he will. To go from being a professional swimmer to that when you're 29 is quite a change. But he is blessed because he knows with utter certainty and conviction that his Heavenly Father loves him and knows what is ultimately good for him. He is blessed because he walks closely with God, driven daily to his knees in prayer. Spurgeon once said, anything is a blessing that makes us pray. Think about that for a minute. This man is blessed because he recognizes his weakness and dependence on God and drinks in his word. He's blessed because he's forced to collapse regularly into God's sustaining arms, and he has experienced firsthand that Jesus is truly enough. He's blessed because his eyes are firmly fixed on heaven, since this life for him is so painful and broken. God blesses us by changing our hearts, and God has sculpted my friend's heart into a masterpiece. He is remarkably blessed. Now, if we looked at this man, we would not probably say he's a blessed man. Okay, to go from what he was doing to the condition he's in. But what has God done? God has drawn him close. He drinks his word. He's drawn to his knees in prayer. He is ever increasingly dependent upon the Lord. That is a blessed man. Okay? It doesn't look like the blessings we often think of. But he is blessed. I can look at my world and say, Lord, I am blessed. Because it has drawn me to him. I'm not the only one. When we go through trials, when we go through hard times, it draws us to the Lord. Okay? And so, let's see blessings perhaps a little differently than we have before. So what does it look like to be a blessing to others? I'm going to give you five things here. The first, be curious of others. Okay? Now, I know curiosity killed the cat, but in this one, curiosity is a good thing. Okay? One way we can bless others is to be interested in them and show our interest by our words and actions. There is something powerful about being noticed by someone else. There just is. Okay? The simple action of seeing, moving forward, and giving a verbal greeting shows favor. It demonstrates interest in the other person. When you go up to someone, you talk with them, you recognize them, you see them for who they are. That's encouraging. That's being a blessing. Okay? I'm blessed by remembering them. Okay? This is important. We bless others when we remember what they say. Okay? Now, I will admit here, in my wife's presence, that when we pray together before we go to bed, there are some nights in which I'll ask her, what should I pray for? And the 2 minutes before I pray, I forget what she says. Okay? I will fully admit it, she probably recognizes those nights. Okay? But alongside from my foibles, it is a remarkable blessing when we remember what people have told us. And we check in on them. Okay? last week, you said this. How's that going this week? Or you said that your friend is dealing with this. How are they doing? What's going on? Okay. When we remember, I know when somebody remembers what I said a week ago, and they bring it up, I'm like, oh, I remember. I mean, if there's something new, it's a bit of a blessing. Okay. So I encourage you to remember, and some of us aren't very good at this, so maybe we have to write it down, maybe we got to do a voice memo on our phone, maybe we got to do something, okay? But just remember, or names, okay? You meet someone the week before, and that week you're going, oh, I know their name, I can't remember their name. That's when you're grateful for a loving spouse that goes, that's this person's name. But when you met them one week and you call them by name the next, you're imparting value to them. Okay. And so one way to be a blessing is to remember what people say or to remember their names. And the third way you can be a blessing is by honoring their emotions. Okay. God made us emotional creatures. And I think we can encourage by allowing a person's emotions to be present without correction, instruction, or distract them, or distraction as we join them. Right? If somebody's sad, please don't feel the need to go in there and go, hey, Alan, let's have some fun. Here's a great joke for you. Right? Please don't do that. Maybe if it's a real good joke, but just not generally a good idea. Okay? They're sad. Sit with them in the sadness for a little bit. And as you talk with them, help them too, okay? If they're scared, okay? Don't go up to them and say, well, that's stupid. That's not helpful either, okay? Go, okay, help me understand what's going on, okay? How can I help you? Or just sit there as they share, okay? Those are ways to encourage and to be a blessing, okay? We can bless others by seeing their talents. Okay? When we look for and nurture someone's God-given talents, this blesses them and helps facilitate a culture of blessing to each other. Instead of comparison and criticism, blessing leads to a culture of celebration and charity. I remember this past year, I had a student in shop who was a pretty good woodworker. His first year student. And I went up to him one day and I said, you know, you're one of these rare students who I think you could build anything you want to build. By the time you graduate from here, I really think you could build pretty much anything. And he gave me this look of just, oh. And it was just this motivation for him, and he does. He's a great woodworker. He's building some great things. And I just can't wait to see what he will build this year. Okay? Sometimes you have to call out what you see in others because they can't see it in themselves. And my wife does this for me all the time. Okay? But do it for others. When you see them do something good, or they have a talent or a gift or ability, call it out in them. You're an encourager. You're really good at this. Well, I saw that. That was really well handled. Okay? If you call that out, that is a huge blessing for the person. And then the last one, we simply bless by encouraging. Okay? We can bless others when we come alongside and let them know that we see their faith. We can remind them of God's call in their life and that sometimes there is a hard reality to walk in as a disciple of Christ. But you are a people of hope because God is a God of hope. Okay? Encouragement to help them get through. Encouragement in what they're doing. Okay? So, simple things. These aren't difficult. But blessed by being curious, asking questions. Okay? Blessed by remembering them. Okay? What they said or their name. Blessed by honoring their emotions to sit with them in that. To bless by seeing their talents and calling them out, and blessed by encouraging. Okay. So I hope that as you move back, as you go back home today, as you interact with your neighbors and your business partners and whoever, but you will be a blessing to them in simple ways like this, but also by encouraging conversations about the gospel, leading them to the gospel of Christ, because God's desire is that through blessing us, we will be a blessing to others. Lord, thank you for your word this morning, for this wonderful song, and I do pray that you would let us not hoard the blessings you give us, but Lord, we'd simply be conduits to which those blessings come through us and they go to others. And Lord, may we seek to be a blessing, whether that's simple things, or whether that is the more profound things. But Lord, let us seek for those opportunities and seize them when they come. And so I give you thanks. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand for our closing song?
And shapes us. Lord, I pray that as we leave here, we will be a blessing to others. Lord, in whatever you bring us into contact with, may our lives and may our words share the gospel of Christ and his transforming work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Have a good week.